oil price yo-yo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The last 3 days, it's been the same thing. Oil prices plummet and then kind of steady out by the end of the day. Looks like it might happen again today. In Europe, they're at about $55 a barrel and falling. Yesterday, they dropped all the way to $53 and change, the lowest price in almost 2 years. There are rumblings OPEC might call an emergency meeting to stop the oil price bleeding. Europe and the U.S. are butting heads more and more on the issue of aviation. Today, U.S. transportation official John Byerly made some comments in Europe that are fueling this dispute. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us. Stephen, what did he say?
Well, Byerly was speaking ahead of a two-day meeting in Brussels on aviation issues, and he said there's no question of the U.S. allowing foreign companies greater control of U.S. airlines. At the moment, they're limited to a 25% stake. He says that rule is not going to be relaxed. Now, that's a bit of a blow for the EU because the EU's been calling for that rule to be liberalised in return for an open skies deal, you know, this elusive, all-embracing agreement between the EU and the US to liberalise transatlantic air travel.
And what's the rationale for not relaxing those rules?
I think it's a question of competition. It's a question of, well, this is the European perspective of the US trying to protect its domestic carriers from European competition.
Well, this whole issue of aviation is causing even more distress between the EU and the US. Byerly went on to talk about emissions controls. What did he say about that?
He said, slapping down the Europeans, saying any attempt by the EU to forcibly include US airlines in this European carbon trading scheme, it would be illegal and the US would challenge it in court. I think it's to do with costs. This undoubtedly is going to put up the price of air travel. It's going to add anything up to $50 to the price of a ticket.
All right, Stephen, thanks a lot.
Okay, Scott.
European correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Another piece of news about airlines, United has won tentative approval for the first nonstop flight between Washington and Beijing. United beat out several other U.S. airlines for the route. Nick Ioannidis of Air Transport Intelligence says this is about open skies between the U.S. and China.
The United States has been trying to push for an open skies type agreement, and what their definition of open skies is basically unlimited flights between the two countries. But until that time occurs, what you have right now is an agreement that sets a certain number of flights that are allowed per week and sets a certain number of airlines that are allowed.
Think about it. Washington to Beijing nonstop. That is one long flight. Apple unveiled its new iPod phone and its shares hit a record high. That gave the NASDAQ a slight boost, 5 points to 2443. But the Dow was off by six. It ended up at 12,416. The S&P 500 fell less than a point.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Society of Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org. And by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellow Shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at fellows.com.
Tonight, President Bush speaks to the country about Iraq. He's expected to ask for about 20,000 more troops over there. Bush has already been talking to Congress about this, and as you can imagine, there's quite a bit of resistance. More now from John Dimsdale.
Massachusetts Democrat Senator Edward Kennedy wants to withhold federal funds for sending additional troops to Iraq.
We are exercising the power of the purse when we're saying that the president ought to come back to the Congress and to justify an increase in the escalation of the war.
President Bush will be asking Congress for additional money for the Iraq war in a few weeks, and Senator Kennedy was asked why doesn't he wait until then.
The horse will be out of the barn by the time we get there. We're going to get the appropriation request probably the end of January, early February. It'll take 6 to 8 weeks for the Congress to act. By that time, the troops will already be there.
Democrats, like Republicans, are split over whether Congress has the constitutional power to block the president's move. But Congress has withheld money before for troops in Vietnam and Lebanon. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
So is this the way it's going to be? Democratic Congress, Republican White House, gridlock, stalemates. Commentator Glenn Hubbard says on the issue of Social Security, it doesn't have to be that way.
The last time we debated Social Security reform, one side argued the program is in crisis, while the other said that it only needs some minor fixes. Neither side was listening. That's a pity, because there's a way to design the program to both build on its own success in lifting seniors out of poverty and help all Americans prepare for retirement. Here's how. Safety net benefits to keep seniors out of poverty should be a vital part of our 21st century Social Security system. One way to do that is to guarantee a minimum benefit. A second alternative is to set a more generous initial benefit for low-income workers than for middle and upper-income workers. Next, the present value of Social Security's unfunded liabilities is in the trillions of dollars. One way out of that fiscal trap is to slow the rate of growth of Social Security benefits by moving from pegging them to wages to pegging them to inflation. With productivity growth, wages rise more quickly than the rate of inflation. That shift eliminates Social Security's financial shortfall over time and then some. These savings could be used to raise benefits of low-income workers in retirement. To make up for less generous benefits, we should help today's middle and upper-income workers adjust by expanding incentives to save, bigger tax breaks for IRAs and 401ks. We could match the contributions of low-income individuals to their savings accounts to some degree with public contributions to bolster future incomes in retirement. We can do all this without a harmful tax increase, and we can put aside personal accounts within Social Security in favor of add-on saving incentives. Our elected officials can come together to solve big problems, like ensuring a long-lasting progressive Social Security system. Can't they?
Glenn Hubbard is former head of President Bush's Council of Economic Advisor. He's now dean of Columbia's Graduate School of Business. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.